Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This story was told live at One Longfellow Square in Portland, where the event's dedicated theme was Turning Point. Here's today's host, Detroit-based storyteller and podcaster, Dame Wilbur.
Please welcome Danuja Trevino.
I was walking out of a children's store in a mall when suddenly the alarm went off. I didn't realize that the little dress I was holding on my right arm had a tag still attached to it. The security guard pulled me back into the store, into the manager's office. The manager was on the phone talking to the police. I begged, "Please tell them not to come, they will deport me." To which he replied, "You should have thought about this before you took this dress." This was not the first time I shoplifted. And it was not the first time I got caught. It happened to me once before at Alexander's, but they didn't call the police. They just told me to never show my face at any of their locations, which was tragic because I loved Alexander's. I've never seen such massive amounts of underwear, and that's what I got caught with. I stuffed a bunch of underwear into my backpack, and as I left the threshold of the store, I heard a woman voice whisper into my ear, "Young lady, you will come with me, I saw you." As she was pulling out the items out of my backpack, I said, "I will never do this again. This was the first time it happened to me." She stopped what she was doing, looked at me and said, "Nobody takes 15 pairs of different size of underwear on their first time. The first time you only take one thing." Back in Poland, when I was little, my mom used to take me and my sister to Warsaw on trips to see great theater. Afterward, we would go to this same cafe for dessert. The dessert came in glass bowls. When we were finished, Mom discreetly slipped the bowls into her bag. She said the bowls were exceptionally beautiful, unavailable in stores, the dessert so expensive it should have been included in the price. I kept my distance from Alexander's, but here I was again, this time arrested and handcuffed by the police. They took me to the precinct, took my fingerprints. I had some cash on me, so I was able to bail myself out. And I was given a court date. I was walking around for 2 weeks, horrified with and afraid with what's going to happen to me. Back home, when I was in trouble, I would tell my sister or my friends or my parents, but I was new here and there was nobody I could confide in. And even if I could call my parents, what would I say to them? I screwed up my chance for a better life. I'm going to be deported. I finally couldn't take it anymore and I told my landlady. I said, "I have this Bulgarian friend who got arrested for stealing. He has no papers. What should he do?" She looked at me, smiled, and said, "Tell your Bulgarian friend to get a lawyer." I found one in Yellow Pages. I went to him, and he asked me, "Are you a kleptomaniac?" I said, "What's that?" He said, "It's a person with a compulsion to take things they don't need, and very often they're not even aware of taking it." I said, "Oh no, that's not me. I'm very aware of what I'm doing." The only thing I have in common with the kleptomaniac is that I don't need these things. But my family and friends in Poland do. For myself, I only take little things like caviar because I wanted to know what luxury tastes like. I also took the French perfume for my friend Zosia because she was married to an abusive, stingy German guy and he wasn't gonna buy it for her. And the perfume made her feel Parisian. I also didn't need that gigantic vase I took off the table at Macy's department. I just wanted to know how big a thing I have to take out for anybody to see me. At the hearing, I followed the lawyer's advice and I pleaded guilty. And I was given a choice of paying a fine or going to a shoplifter's workshop. I chose the workshop because $100 was a lot of money for me. And there were all kinds of people at that workshop, young, middle age, older, different races. I was the only Polish person. I thought there's gonna be some policemen telling us what horrible people we were, but instead we were greeted by this very pleasant young woman who gave us a historical background of malls and supermarkets and shoplifting. She said that it all started with Mr. Woolworth's and Piggly Wiggly stores where people could pick their own things. She also told us that the people who pay for our shoplifting is our neighbors and friends because, like in a casino, the house never loses. The stores just raise the price to cut their loss. Then she asked us to tell our shoplifting story from the beginning till now, how it started and what we took. One woman said that it was all conspiracy, that somebody put letter pens into her bag. Another guy said that he paid for the item, just lost the tag. I don't know if anybody believed them in that room. I couldn't wait for my turn. And when it came, I listed everything I could remember. The lipstick, the teddy bears, the socks, the toilet paper from Wendy's bathroom, the jar of pickles. And every item I listed, I felt lighter. And the only other person who I believe told the whole truth was this guy named Jerome. And both he and me left the workshop together and we did a little dance of freedom on the street. And then we hugged and said goodbye. And I don't know about the other people, but I knew that me and him will probably never take something that doesn't belong to us again. And strangely enough, for the first time, I felt not so foreign anymore and that I belonged somewhere. And somehow this group of troubled strangers and this nice woman made me feel like I was okay. Maybe because they knew some truths about me that even my intimate friends didn't know. And I knew some truths about them. And what I knew is that they weren't terrible people. They were just lost and lonely and terribly afraid. Thank you.
Danuta Trevino is an actress and storyteller born and raised in Poland. She is a two-time Moth Grand Slam winner and a regular teller at Moth Main Stage events. She has been a part of the New York Literary Salon, Women of Letters. As an actress, she's written and performed her solo show, Wonder Bread, in New York and at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Danuta lives with her husband, Xavier, in New York City.
Join us now for a conversation before the tell backstage. Our storyteller talked with the host to give us some interesting facts about them.
What is your connection to Maine?
My niece married a native Maine guy.
Does that
from Cornish?
Cornish Maine. Does that make you a Maine person, sort of?
Yes.
What got you into storytelling?
It's been my nature since I was a kid, and also a lot of crazy stories. I led a crazy life. And then my husband went to a story slam at the Moth and told me he had a great experience. So I went. And that's how it started.
Beautiful. So what is your process for preparing to tell a story?
I listen to music. I listen to music to sort of open my heart. So I have my favorite pieces of music. And depending if the story is a sad story, I listen to something more classical or just something that will open me up.
Okay, so what are the three pieces you listen to open you up?
Well, today I was listening to Philip Glass the whole time at home. And there is Arcade Five song that I sometimes listen to that's very upbeat and happy. So it depends on the mood.
Cool. I listen to Jupiter from the Planets because I'm a weirdo. All right. So tell us about one part of your story that you are not including in the telling tonight.
The time that I got caught shoplifting at Alexander's, the detective lady was going through my bag. And aside from the thing I stole, she found a photograph I just developed, a portrait of my friend Zosia, who is also a character in my story. And she was so impressed with my work as a photographer, as an artist, that she told me that she released me without any penalty. And she said, why don't you just stick with being an artist instead of doing this?
So the store detective basically said, be an artist and stop being a shoplifter, and I'm going to let you go.
Yes.
That's awesome. All right. Thank you so much.
Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to Toad & Co. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, is online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainepublic.org.